Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 80s. Also known as the Astrology Hour, on KFOX, 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. And once again, good afternoon, Southern California. I had some surprises thrown at me today. Talk about Uranus, huh? Phone started ringing off the hook at 11 o'clock. My mom, my sister, my landlord, one of my best friends, Bruce, they all called me up and said, Farley, you're on TV. Did you catch that? Now they're putting me on TV and they're not even telling me. I did a spot on KDOC Channel 56 last year, and they occasionally rerun it. So a lot of Astrology Hour members were on television this morning also. I think Alicia was there and Lila, and it was just exciting. So, aren't I sad? Every time I come on, I always tell you, after the fact. Farley, why don't you give us some notice? I know a lot of people probably would have liked to watch that this morning. We have a topic for you, and now that I've given you all the basics all last week, right, and also yesterday, I decided let's really hit you a whammy below the belt, hardcore here, and today's topic is called Choosing Astrology as a Career. Now, I am fully aware that many hundreds, possibly thousands of you are having a heavy career karma. I am also aware that because Saturn and Uranus are conjunct, Uranus being the ruling planet, the controlling planet of astrological energy in this dimension, as far as we're concerned, and Saturn being the planet of career, frankly, because Saturn and Uranus are conjunct, a lot of the karma that many of the people in the world and America are facing right now is career karma. One thing that many millions of people don't know is that this is the age of Aquarius, this is a new age, this is the age of astrology and humanity and technology for the benefit of humanity. And for that reason, astrology is going to hold a major significance in the next 2,000 years, more than you'd ever imagined. So whereas the last 2,000 years was the age of Pisces, or the age of religion, the next 2,000 years is the age of Aquarius, the age of humanity and astrology. And a lot of people are walking around and they're trying to figure out their middle class ethic, and they're trying to accumulate this money, and they're trying to make the babies and buy the house and create the bills and work in corporations and become a secretary or a truck driver or a nurse, you know, all these crazy things. And there's nothing wrong with hard work, of course, but the truth of the matter is, I think more than anything else, you should become aware of one truth that I am fully aware of, and that is that I know for a fact that hundreds of millions of people were born, they incarnated in this dimension, in this century, with the explicit purpose to be what I would refer to, quote unquote, as a New Age herald. And frankly, along those lines, I feel that astrology is not only an important catalyzer to propel spiritual growth inside an individual to create the revelation that they are one of these, quote unquote, New Age heralds, but astrology also can act as beyond just a catalyzer, but as a stabilizer or a grounding board, the ground floor of a person's future. Meaning that many of you out there, you might look back at the 1980s, and back then you might have just been a listener of the Astrology Hour or a member of the club, right? But in the 90s and beyond the year 2000, when you find yourself practicing astrology, then you'll sit there and go, wow, I was one of them. And we've been on the air for 4 years, and I know this for a fact, that at the very beginning when we went on the air, since then, since 1984, we have already developed a mass generation of astrologers in Southern California. I would have to say that hundreds of our listeners have become practicing astrologers in Southern California. So today's topic is hopefully to help you find out, or to let you know maybe why you are curious or interested in this show, in astrology as a science, beyond finding the realization of your own self-worth and self-existence. The fun thing that I like about life is that I'm somebody that likes to prove things. And always being a doubting Thomas from the show-me state of Missouri, St. Louis, specifically, I was a major doubter of astrology, just like many thousands of you people also might have doubted that astrology worked. So what we're dealing with here, in case you're wondering what we are dealing with, is we're dealing with everyone going through their own burden of proof. And people go through their burdens of proof in many different ways. Some people will just call the show and talk to me to see if I know what I'm talking about. And then they'll get off the phone and they'll be shocked or tingling or get the chills and go, wow, that guy, this is heavy here. He plugged into something major in my life. Another burden of proof may be just to get your chart done, send for an astroscope, or to get a reading from an astrologer. Or perhaps, maybe even further than that, if you have to be like a guy like me and go through a major trauma first and then get your chart done, have someone sit there and explain to you what just happened. That's right, Farley Malaris wasn't the type of guy to call a talk show or to get his reading done. I had to go through the bomb blaster first, and then after I got shellacked and slaughtered, I went up to see my pal, the astrologer, my friend Donna, and she sat there and nailed me. For about 2 hours, she explained to me what had just happened in the last 25 years or so when I was in there for a reading. So once you get through the hump, once you get over the hump and you conquer the burden of proof and you walk out of there, for the first time in your life, you are aware that you're more than just a sun sign, that finally you've been given some proof, some truth, that astrology does work. And it's like the Alamo. When you cross the line, you leave the ranks of people that are in the space. Does that stuff really work? Or you don't believe in that? You know, people love to profess their ignorance sometimes by saying things like that. And I'm not putting people down that don't believe in astrology because, frankly, you have to go through your own individual burden of proof, no matter what it is. Like I say, either getting a reading, getting your chart done, or just backing into a trauma and finally having it explained to you by an astrologer. But for whatever reason, eventually, if we aren't fortunate enough to rebirth into levels of awareness where we are given the intuitive knowledge of the astrological values of this dimension and this universe, and the power behind understanding the cosmic effect the planets and the universe have as they bombard this planet Earth and the living organisms that live here, and how we are tremendously affected by this magnetic ocean in which we live, once you cross the line, then you say to yourself, wow, the choice now is, should I be selfish about this knowledge, or should I learn it, try to master it, and then share it with others? And an interesting part about many of us, if not all of us, that are alive today in the world, is that we have come from a long path of experiences, heavy experiences, multiple past lives, where I would say that the majority of us are here to absolve karma for maybe 10, 15, even 20 to 50 past lives. And we're being given an incredible opportunity here because, frankly, I hate to scare you, but 20th century Earth is a pivot point for this dimension. And a lot of us have come down to clean the slates, to absolve all karma. This is an opportunity that we might not have been given in the 1500s or the 1400s or the 1200s because technology and the media didn't exist the way it does now, which enables one person to shed light on millions of souls and absolve a whole ocean of karma. So we have been given the opportunity between the choice of either being selfish or selfless, right? We can either take all this power and this knowledge and be stubborn with it and be greedy about it and hoard knowledge just like we might hoard money or assets, or we can realize that we are one of these heralds that have come in with tremendous karmic effect and that we are being given an awesome opportunity to absolve this major block of karmic effect from what we've done throughout these past lives. Hey, a lot of us have been soldiers. A lot of us have been warriors. A lot of us have been thieves. A lot of us have been cheaters. All kinds of karma have come down, adulterers and such. And, you know, this is not the type of thing that you typically absolve in one lifetime unless you adhere to and conform to a period or a position as being a teacher or a helper or a philosopher and would guide others from this type of behavior. And in so doing that, then we have a dharmic effect. See, dharma is a word that is used when you do good things, when you accomplish deeds, or when you do a selfless act, then a vibration is attached to your soul that we call a dharma instead of a karma, which a karma is a debt. When you do something wrong, when you hurt yourself, or you hurt other people, or when you have done something that will come back to you in a negative sense, that is a karma. But a dharma is when you absolve this karma by paying off that pain. Let's say you marry somebody in a past life that you murdered, and obviously the vibration comes up, and it becomes uncomfortable, and the marriage is about to separate, or divorce, or whatever, and you have a choice to make. Well, should I hang on there and keep feeling guilty about killing this person in a past life without knowing that's why you feel guilty, or should I just say goodbye to them, bless them, say I'm sorry it didn't work, and leave them with a smile, and then the karma is absolved? And the karma is always with yourself. You see, the world is a reflection of yourself. You are the center of the world and the center of the universe, and other people are not your karma. They are catalyzers to help you grow and help you understand what you have done in past lives. So basically, when you live your daily life, you are seeing a reflection of your past as far as what is thrown to you. So obviously, the more good deeds you do, the more good deeds that will come back to you, and then your past will start catching up with you, and you'll know that your karma is beginning to become absolved. So it's very important for people to make a choice to perhaps be a New Age herald. And one of the questions involved with becoming a New Age herald and helping midwife this planet into the New Age, because Earth is going through a critical rebirth this month, next month, and the whole following decade, is to make that choice to maybe let go of traditional standards and possibly adhere to a career like astrology. And it's not as difficult as it might sound. See, astrology, like any other career, it's fun to get into now because we don't have as many stringent regulations. Like, becoming an astrologer is not like being a psychologist or a doctor, because people can get involved, perhaps, in their own self-study courses. They can take classes, they can read books, and they can learn how to read an ephemeris, planetary positions. And they could practice on hundreds of people they meet for free. Say, let me look at your planets and try to figure you out. Or maybe if they get good enough, they can join organizations like the International Society of Astrological Research, ISAR, or AFAN, the American Federation of Astrologers Network. Or if you feel like taking a test and you want to get approved, American Federation of Astrologers in Washington, D.C., where you actually must know how to calculate the math, which is really not necessary with ISAR, or AFAN, because a lot of those astrologers actually use computers to calculate their charts. But you see, a lot of people become astrologers unto their own accord, unto their own spiritual self, under their own personal grace, because they finally adhere to responsibilities of being humble and being selfless and recognizing that they and all people do have egos that need to be controlled, and also recognizing that there's nothing bad or negative or wrong with astrology, that it is a science of human behavioralism, and it is also a science that affects people and things on this planet from the electromagnetic effects of the planets and the stars and beyond the stars from the universe, and that we use things like the phases of the moon and like sunspots and like the asteroids and like the movement of the planets, depending what sectors of space they are in. We use astronomical locations to help explain psychological and behavioral effects and influences and cycles of life and ups and downs and surges and obsessions and selfishness and spiritual growth. See, so once you adhere to certain basic qualities and you make the commitment that you do want to be more than just an astrological knowledgeable person, but in fact you want to do readings one day and choose astrology as a career, once you take on this responsibility, then you have a commitment unto yourself to study and research and analyze and learn the correlations that we've gone over here in the past week or two. And then maybe one day when you're giving somebody a free reading, because this is how I became an astrologer, I would take my ephemeris everywhere, my 1900 to 1999 ephemeris from the Complete Astrologer that Derek Parker publishes, and I would go all over the world and give hundreds of free readings, and then one day, guess what? I got a tip. I got $10. Somebody liked my reading so much, they said, here's $10, boy. And after a while, I got $20 and $25. Before I knew it, I had people interested in me, and I was doing psychic fairs, astrology readings at psychic fairs, and found myself charging $35 for an hour reading. And then after a while, went up to 50, and then it went up to 60, and before I knew it, I was lecturing on cruise ships, then I had a radio show, and then I had two radio shows, and then three, and then before I know it, here I am. And it was one day at a time, one step at a time, and even though some people will say, well, Farley's a Leo, and he does have an ego, the truth of the matter is that the road to becoming where I am today was really littered with me doing hundreds of readings for free at the beginning from many people who never knew who I was or had any idea where I came from. But the only way I could understand the proof and the truth of astrology and understand open-mindedness and metaphysics was to use people as the guinea pigs and research their planets at no charge and thanking them, using the world as my scholar, as my school, as my teacher, as my master. So that's really what today's show is all about. Because I know there are some people out there that are studying astrology just because they're curious, and there's many masses of you out there that are really meant to practice this one day. And it might take you 5 or 10 years to develop the confidence and the optimism and the humility and the selflessness needed to be an astrologer, and it's not easy. Sometimes you slip, sometimes you fall, sometimes a little ego comes out, sometimes someone hits you with something the wrong way, or you'll get out of 1,000 calls a bad caller on the phone or a bad client. And you'll have to process it as easily and as gracefully as possible. Sometimes, like me, you do this in public, and not everyone agrees with how you handle the call, but everyone has their own particular methods. Now, when we come back in our next segment, I'm going to talk to you about my formula as to how I became an astrologer and what you can do, perhaps if you would like to think about becoming an astrologer, choosing astrology as a career, and some of the tips I can give you as far as trying to master this science, or at least master your chart, and trying to get the correlations down. And there's a lot of basic memorization involved. Just like with anything else, astrology is a science, and it does take study and it does take time. But once you rebirth to certain awareness levels, I think it becomes a lot easier. And a hearty good afternoon and greetings to all of our extraterrestrial listeners out there. If there's any positive beings of light that are listening from the beyond, we need your help. Help us on Earth. I'm Farley Malaris, in case you're wondering what my name is. This station is KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative, where weekdays you can hear the Astrology Hour at 12 noon. I've got my crystals. It's funny, if you hold one in one hand and the other in the other hand, it really does pick up the topic, doesn't it? But anyway, these crystals will be down here with me. They'll be special every day. One of them is clouded in halfway, so it looks like it's stuck in another dimension. And the other one is almost a double ender, and it's crystal clear. It's so clear. But I can't believe how big they are. Okay, we're talking about choosing astrology as a career. First thing you got to do, and foremost, more than anything, is you have to memorize your own chart. Which means if you want to be an astrologer, it is your duty to learn how to memorize your chart. Maybe one day you'll be gifted with the ability to memorize other people's charts, which I have finally learned to do. You only have 11 things in your chart that I feel are necessary to memorize. Rising, Sun, Moon, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto. If you want to be really good, North and South Node are important too. But you should know all your planets by sign, by house, by degree, and by aspect if you're an astrologer, because you'll sound foolish if you meet another astrologer and you don't have your chart in your head with you, because that's what astrologers discuss, their charts. So step number one is to memorize your chart. Step number two would be to read the suggestive reading that we've given you. The book that I love and carry with me everywhere I go for the last 13 years is called The New Complete Astrologer. It's C-O-M-P-L-E-A-T by Derek and Julia Parker, two of the finest astrologers in the history of the universe. And this book is wonderful because in the back of the book it contains 100 years of ephemeride. And ephemerides basically give you the planetary locations. In case you're wondering how I do charts on the air, I use this book every day. When people call up, I zero in on their year, their month, and their date, and I can see where the planets were on that date. They give me their rising sign, like Maricela's a Sag rising, and Jolie's a Scorpio rising, Bill's Virgo, see, Helen's Gemini. They know their rising signs, so they give me that. By knowing that rising sign by degree, I can plug into their whole chart by looking in my ephemeris. And basically, you can't tell a player without the scorecard here, and you can't be an astrologer unless you can read an ephemeris. And the only way to learn how to read an ephemeris is to learn the symbols. That means you must memorize what the symbols of the planets are, what they look like, Sun, Moon, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto, and then you must memorize the symbols for the 12 zodiac signs, Aries through Pisces. Because in an ephemeris, what you'll basically see, for example, is a random date, January the 28th, for example, 1988, and it would have the symbol of the Sun next to an 8, and then the symbol for Aquarius, which is a couple of wavy lines. And then it's 07, so that would tell us the Sun is located on that day at 8 Aquarius 07. And it would say that the Moon at Greenwich time would be at 12 degrees, and the symbol for Gemini, which is like a symbol for Roman numeral 2, and 12 degrees 29 minutes. So by memorizing your symbols of the planets and the signs, then you'll learn how to read an ephemeris. And once you get that down, that's a lot of fun. And basically, you need to know how to read the ephemeris to follow the planets yourself, and also to be able to look up other people's charts that you might meet. Because part of this career has to do with doing lots of free readings, and that way you turn on a lot of people to some New Age thought. That's a dharmic thing to do, give people free readings. I gave thousands of free readings in the 6 years of study from 1976 to 1982 before I really became the type of professional I wanted to be. That's the price you pay. People say, Farley, how come you charge? Well, for 6 years I didn't. So that's the answer to that question. It takes money to make a show like this work, so we have to charge. And also, I do suggest picking up Jim Maynard's Celestial Influences, a wonderful almanac and textbook of astrology, ephemeris and calendar for 1988, because that'll teach you how to read the whole thing for sure. The other textbook I like is called Secrets from a Stargazer's Notebook by Debbie Kempton Smith. I could suggest you read that. She's one of my closest friends in the business. And also Astrology for Yourself, which is the official textbook to the Astrology Hour by good friend and close associate Douglas Block. He's been on the show, so is Debbie. And also, another book I could suggest is Zolar's Encyclopedia of Ancient and Forbidden Knowledge. And Zolar's Encyclopedia of Ancient and Forbidden Knowledge is one of the most important books I can recommend for an equal house astrologer like myself, because it gives you the 12 rising signs and what each sign on the cusp of each house for each rising sign means in one of the critical chapters in that book. So in order to become an equal house astrologer, picking up Zolar's Encyclopedia of Ancient and Forbidden Knowledge is almost absolutely critical. Those are the books that I like the best. Also, Planets in Aspect, Planets in Transit by Hand and Pelletier are wonderful books. Transit Simplified by Sequoyan and Acker. Okay, those are some good books too. And then, the classes. Now that you've got your chart memorized, now you got the suggested reading, now that you can start understanding the correlations and studying the correlations, and let me tell you something, when I first got into astrology, I think I was studying all day long. From the moment I woke up to the moment I went to bed, I was always thinking planets, thinking transits, talking them over, doing free charts. It was like a full-time job. I went to a lot of schooling. I went through college and grad school, but I don't think I ever spent as much time in any one subject as I did on astrology and metaphysics and spiritual awareness and meditation and chanting. And it all works well together. I also recommend that if you want to become the best astrologer you can be, that you should take up transcendental type meditation or just plain TM. Initiate yourself, because that way you will be closer in touch with your guides, with your higher self, and plug into your intuitive mind, where so much more astrological knowledge lies, more than any book you can imagine. So chanting and meditation are also a very necessary supplement. I started meditating the same week that I took up astrology classes, so that definitely works well together. And it's a long road into becoming an astrologer. A few things you have to know is you can't really put people down or criticize people, because a basic premise of metaphysics is that everything is perfect. Everything has a reason. Everything has a cause. If you want to find a reason to be discriminate, you want to discriminate against whoever, black people, white people, Jewish people, Catholic people, tall people, short people, fat people, thin people, gay people, people with AIDS, straight people, bisexual people, people that are Americans, Russian, French, Greek, you can always find a reason to put people down. Because it's funny how some of us think we're experts and some of us think we are better than other people. Number one, I don't think there's any experts in this dimension because I believe we're all floundering in consciousness. And number two, I do believe that everything and everyone is perfect. That is why I try hard to love all people. And if they're fat, I love them for it. Or if they're skinny, I love them for that. Or if they're sick, I still love them because I feel that this is their perfect state. This is a perfect state of their own personal karma and soul growth. It doesn't do a person good for you to grieve them, or to feel sorry for them, or to manifest negative energy in their aura by even fortifying the fact that they are in a negative state. If someone is a bit overweight, they're perfect. Why put them down for it? It bothers me when people walk around and they'll say, well, you're this and you're that, or you're going to have a premature this, or you're going to have a premature that because of your state here and your state there. And the point is that to be an astrologer and to be objective, you must become a metaphysician, and you must be aware that everything has a reason. Everything has a purpose. Everything is in metamorphosis, and everything is perfect. And when you get rid of that criticism and that negative manifestation in your life and other people's lives, then maybe one day you'll be qualified to be a New Age counselor. So there's my topic for you, choosing astrology as a career. And I forgot to tell you one other thing. I think to really become an astrologer, you should be my student. And to be my student, you should either listen to this show and or record it. Because even though I'm not the biggest expert in the world, I think the Astrology Hour is an open forum dedicated to the open mind and the search for further truth, and it can't hurt your search for astrological, metaphysical, and spiritual awareness. So thank you for that topic.